Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 55 degrees, some clouds moving in. Today's Monday, January 27th, 2014. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The Sitka School Board has narrowed its search for a new superintendent down to three. The finalists are Eddie Campbell, who currently works as a superintendent in Parsons, West Virginia, Joseph Kraus, currently a teacher in Larson Bay in the Kodiak School District, and Mary Wegner, the current assistant superintendent of the Sitka School District. The finalists were selected from a pool of 10 applicants. Board President Lon Garrison says that prior experience in Alaska was pretty important in making the final cut. He emphasized the uniqueness of Alaska, the challenges of working in a rural community, and the importance of multicultural experience. Eddie Campbell, the only finalist not currently working in Alaska, met these criteria in previous jobs. He has been a principal in Kotzebue and has taught in China. Campbell holds a doctorate in educational leadership from the University of Virginia. Joseph Kraus is now teaching in Kodiak, but he's been an administrator. He is the former superintendent and principal of the Tekonsha schools in Tekonsha, Michigan. He was also a principal in Alaska in the Nanana School District. He holds a master's in education from the Saginaw Valley State University. Sitka's assistant superintendent, Mary Wegner, is the former supervisor for educational technology in the Anchorage School District. She's also been a teacher in the Sitka, Juneau, and Chatham School Districts. Wegner expects to receive a doctoral degree this coming May. The board met in a public work session with a committee of 16 community members to review applications. School Board President Lon Garrison said he and other board members really benefited from the input. Garrison also noted the relatively low number of applicants for the job. There were a few more than the 10 the committee ultimately reviewed, he says, but they withdrew their names when they were informed that their applications would be made public. The board initially planned on keeping the applicant list confidential, but reversed course after receiving requests from local media for full disclosure of the applicant pool. Daily Sitka Sentinel editor Thad Polson sent the board a letter on January 23rd citing a 1982 Alaska Supreme Court ruling, which clearly outlines the legal basis for the request. The justices defined the public process used by Alaskan communities to hire high public officials like city managers, police chiefs, and by extension, school superintendents. Nevertheless, Garrison says that the pool of qualified applicants for superintendencies in Alaska has been shrinking. He says there is a changing of the guard in state education. Several top administrative positions are open, and the number of qualified applicants to fill them is growing smaller all the time. The finalists will all be in Sitka for tours on February 12th and 13th. A public candidate forum will be held at Sitka High School at 5 p.m. on the evening of the 12th. The school board will interview each candidate individually in public on February 13th. The successful candidate is expected to start before July 1st. To view correspondence between the Sitka School Board and local media over the public hiring process and to see a complete list of applicants for superintendent of Sitka schools, visit our website, kcaw.org. It doesn't take much to trigger an emergency mountain goat closure on Baranoff Island. Because of recent population declines, if a hunter shoots one nanny, a large swath of the island may become off limits. Years of detailed research has shaped today's goat hunting guidelines, which might seem like a lot of effort considering that only a handful of Sitkans have the stamina to hunt goats. But the process has revealed much more than how to manage the goat population. We now have clues to what Baranoff looked like before there were hunters. KCAW's Emily Foreman has the story.
On a cloudless September day on Baranoff Island, Kevin White, a goat researcher from Juneau, and Phil Mooney, Sitka's wildlife management biologist, are looking for mountain goats. When the helicopter hovers within 30 feet of the goat, White leans out of the open door with one foot on the skid and aims at a dirty spot on the goat's coat the size of a saucer, a natural bullseye of dirt on the otherwise brilliant white coat.
And I think he's only missed two out of about 400, so he's got it down.
That's Phil Mooney. He says hitting the goat with a dart is one thing. Recovering the goat is another.
And I'm sitting on the opposite ridge as I see Kevin bail out of the helicopter going after the goat that's headed for the cliff.
White had darted the goat with a heavy tranquilizer that takes 7 minutes to kick in. It would be a grisly end for the goat if it were bounding over the cliff once it did.
And I'm thinking he's still got his flight suit on, and then goat horns are sharp. He gets tangled up with that, and the goat goes off the cliff. He's going to go with it. And he ended up about 11 feet from the edge of the cliff.
Almost a century before biologists were jumping out of helicopters to tackle 300-pound mountain goats, there were no reported goat sightings on Baranoff Island.
This place was covered by miners in the late 1800s and early 1900s searching for gold and silver. Nobody reported seeing goats.
Back then, residents wanted more big game hunting options. So, in 1923, the state transplanted 18 goats to Baranoff Island from the Taku River. To protect the population, wildlife biologists have been studying the goats ever since, through aerial surveys, GPS tagging, and tissue samples.
Which is nothing more than a piece of flesh about the size of a pencil eraser.
The DNA in those samples revealed something unexpected. Proof that there were, in fact, goats on the island before the Taku River transplant.
They were only expecting to find the Taku River DNA in there. And lo and behold, there was other DNA in there.
10,000 years ago, Southeast Alaska was covered in hundreds of feet of glacial ice, except for a few isolated pockets called refugia. The samples Mooney and White found matched DNA from an Ice Age goat population near Haines. That means the transplanted goats bred with goats that were already on Baranoff Island, but were absolutely unknown. Mystery goats.
What, a UFO came and dropped off a bunch of goats? How could that be?
Call it a case of wildlife management meets paleobiology. Phil Mooney plans to tackle that question in time, but right now it's about keeping tabs on Baranoff Island's current goat population. Along with gathering tissue samples, Mooney tracks the animal's movement with bright orange GPS collars. GPS stands for Global Positioning System.
It's just like a kitchen timer. It's nothing fancy at all. But when that day and time come up, it sets off a small explosive charge in the collar that blows the springs on the plate that holds the collar together, and the collar falls to the ground.
At $5,000 apiece, Mooney makes sure to retrieve the collars. If a goat dies in an avalanche and is carried down a valley, Mooney might end up in Devil's Club up to his head fishing for the device. But Mooney says it's worth it. The goats aren't harmed. White reverses the tranquilizer with an injection, and within minutes the goat is up and running. And they've learned a lot from the data, mainly the best way to protect nannies. It's the reason why there are goat hunting zones, why shooting a single nanny will close a zone, and why we still have a goat hunting season at all.
We've got a situation up by Yakutat where the population declined significantly. It's been closed now 13 years.
Goat hunting is rigorous. Not many have the stamina to traverse high rocky cliffs, shoot a 250-pound animal, and then pack out a heavy load of meat and hide. But a wildlife management strategy based on science can produce fundamental discoveries important to all of us, and not just to the hunters. In Sitka, I'm Emily Foreman.
Most of us take a while, sometimes quite a while, to figure out what we want to do when we grow up. But one Sitka fourth grader has it all figured out.
My name is Hunter Lambden. I am 9 years old, and I go to KGH. I'm aiming for being a famous singer.
Hunter has been singing pretty much since the day she was born, according to her mom, Stephanie Lambden.
But she was so shy that she'd only do it in front of family if she didn't think we were looking. And then as she got older, she'd belt out this gorgeous voice, but it was behind closed doors in her bedroom, so we couldn't see her sing.
So her family was a little surprised when Hunter announced this fall that she wanted to audition for the NBC television show America's Got Talent.
I just wanted to be famous for what I really like, and I always would watch like the X Factor, American Idol, and I wanted to be one of those people just auditioning and, you know, making it through, and yeah.
The show was accepting video auditions, so Stephanie made a short video of Hunter singing, sitting on their living room floor with the family dog. They sent it in, but they didn't expect to hear back. Then they got an email. The producers had watched Hunter's video, and they liked what they saw. They encouraged the Lambdens to have Hunter audition before a panel of live judges. But to do that, they'd have to travel to one of the show's public auditions in the lower 48. And as the holidays rolled around, Stephanie realized it was too expensive. They just couldn't swing it. She posted about it on Facebook, and right away the responses started rolling in.
And the outreach that came back that day or the next day was just like, you know, especially with Melissa Brochat at Highliners, she just like, we are not going to let this opportunity pass up. That girl needs to be in front of those judges, and this town is going to make it happen.
On January 18th, the Lambdens held a fundraiser at Highliner Coffee in Sitka and raised $2,000, enough for Hunter and Stephanie and Hunter's 11-year-old brother Colt to travel to Providence, Rhode Island for a live audition. But that wasn't all. Producers at America's Got Talent got wind of the community effort and decided to set aside a specific time to meet Hunter and to find out a little more about the community that came together to send her there.
And I'm holding back tears because a week ago, this wasn't a reality. I mean, we literally pulled it together in a few days, and we're moving forward, and I can't thank everybody enough.
So let's hear what all the fuss is about. Here's Hunter Lambden singing part of Ready or Not by Bridget Mendler.
Ready or not, here I come. Where you at? The night is young. In the crowd, the music's loud, but I will find you, ready or not.
That's Kiku Shaheen, fourth grader Hunter Lambden, on her way to Providence, Rhode Island to try out for America's Got Talent. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander calls for increasing clouds, chance of rain in the afternoon, highs around 57, southeast winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Time is 1 minute after 8 o'clock.